You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to the site now, check out all the good stuff we have leading you in to the championship games. We have 49ers and Eagles in Philadelphia, followed by Bengals, Chiefs, and Kansas City, all on Sunday, to decide who gets the Super Bowl 57. We'll break that game down in depth for you here, really both the games for you at the end of the week here, Thursday and Friday show. We do have to get into, however, more news and notes that we need to catch you up on. We'll go through all 16 NFC teams, including the two teams left in the playoffs, the Eagles and 49ers, to give you the latest updates on the most important goings on here, the early part of the offseason. We'll do that here shortly. We got a lot to cover on the show. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. We're free and available to you on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. Ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing a football franchise? Then this game is definitely for you. Just download the game by visiting ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. Our listeners here to Locked On Fantasy Football, you will get a 100% free boost to your franchise when using the promo code LOCKEDON, that's Locked On in all caps, while in the game. All right, let's dive into it and how we usually do it when we go through all teams in a conference on Locked On Fantasy Football. We start with the first team in alphabetical order, that's the Arizona Cardinals. We'll take you all the way through the Washington Commanders here. A lot of things happening here as the Cardinals are looking for a new head coach. Cliff Kingsbury took a one-way ticket to Thailand, and they're looking for someone to replace him. They do have a replacement for their GM, Steve Keim. He was successful there for the most part, but ran into some trouble off the field, and then it didn't come through there as they were having an aging roster. So Monty Osenfort, he comes from the Titans, a very good hire here as their new GM. So some Titans connections in play as they look for a coach. So far, the candidates that have been contacted include Sean Payton, right at the top. He's on everybody's list here, navigating if he wants to join a team with Kyler Murray. The Cardinals have to figure out with Osenfort if they want to give up a draft pick there to acquire Payton, so that's the challenge there. They're waiting for D'Amico Ryans, the 49ers defensive coordinator, as well. He's in the mix. Ejiro Evero, who just ended his stint under Nathaniel Hackett as the Broncos defensive coordinator, formerly of the Rams, he's in the mix. They looked at Frank Reich as well. They're interested in Aaron Glenn. Ben Johnson is not in the mix anymore, the other Lions coordinator on offense, so he looks like he's going to stay. We'll have more on that here. And then Dan Quinn is also in the mix. The Cowboys were eliminated in the divisional playoffs. Quinn, there's been a lot of talk about him returning to coaching. It makes sense to go with an experienced coach who's been to a Super Bowl there with the Falcons, Super Bowl 51, and to go defensive-minded over Cliff Kingsbury. So a lot of things to consider. So that's why it's interesting they have Ryans, Ejiro Evero, Glenn and Quinn in the mix, maybe ending up with a defensive-minded coach in Arizona again. They've had Vance Joseph, they've had Steve Wilks. Things have not worked out as well as the Cardinals would have expected here yet. So I think you look at Arizona, would not surprise me. They're just going to go with the best candidate possible and find anyone that can work well with Kyler Murray, whether it's being an offensive-minded coach, a coordinator that Murray can totally trust, and a coach that he sees eye-to-eye with. So that's a big thing here with Murray being a franchise quarterback and locked into a big deal. Let's go from Arizona to Atlanta. They're replacing their defensive coordinator. So Evero's been in the mix there as Dean Pease officially retired here now. He came back to coach a little bit to help Arthur Smith, the former Titans and Patriots defensive coordinator, but they need to replace him. They might keep some of the same concepts. They could change. They're also looking at the Panthers defensive guy, Al Holcomb, who has been successful. They're also looking at Vic Fangio, another seasoned guy in Pease who can get the 3-4 going, and Brian Flores who can run a hybrid defense. So there's a lot of buzz about Flores landing with the Falcons. He got a lot of credit in Pittsburgh for helping Mike Tomlin, Keith Butler, that defense a lot. We also had Kenny Pickett heap praise on Flores for helping him prepare from the other side of the ball as a rookie quarterback. So figure Falcons might be in the market for a new quarterback here. That could change things up here for Marcus Mariota, or they could look at Desmond Ridder as more of a leader, so Flores would make sense to have his influence on the defense there. So anything can happen to the Falcons. They're sticking with Arthur Smith as head coach, but a lot of things that they need to change offensively and defensively, and it starts with whether or not they keep their scheme on the other side of the ball. Let's stick with the NFC South and go to the Panthers. They're interviewing a variety of head coaches. Sean Payton has been on their list twice here for David Tepper. Will they be willing to make a deal with a division rival to acquire Payton? That's a question. Will Payton want to go there with the uncertain quarterback situation? Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, we know, are free agents. Baker Mayfield was gone early, so Baker didn't work out. Darnold, we'll see if they want to keep him. So they already moved on from Baker. They could move on from Darnold. P.J. Walker's just a fill-in here. Do they want to think Matt Corral could be something? So that's all the things they need to consider here. So those could be detractors for Payton taking that job. So Mike Kafka has been thrown out as a name as well, the Giants' young offensive coordinator from Northwestern and the Chiefs. So that's a name that is being considered. They did look at another young offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, as well. So the Cowboys were eliminated. The Panthers are interested in him. They looked at Ken Dorsey, who once worked in Carolina, the former Miami Hurricanes quarterback who replaced Brian Daboll as the Bills' offensive coordinator for Josh Allen. So he's been in the mix. They've also looked at Gerard Mayo, D'Amico Ryans. They've been all over the board. Frank Reich is interested in them. He once coached in Charlotte there in the high school level. So there's all kinds of connections here the Panthers are trying to explore. Really could go in any direction. It's harder for them to pinpoint somebody with Tepper and his fickle nature versus maybe the Cardinals and Broncos and Texans and Colts, maybe zeroing in on candidates here pretty soon once the conference championship round is over. So anything could happen to the Panthers. Again, a lot of change coming in Carolina. Again, the quarterback is going to be tied to the head coach and the coordinator he picks here. So still yet to come how we believe in the Panthers here in 2023 from a fantasy football perspective. Really, for them, it's just DJ Moore we can trust and maybe some of the backfield of Dante Foreman. The Bears, Justin Fields is the only person that we know for sure is going to be back. David Montgomery is a free agent. Will they move on from Montgomery and just roll with Khalil Herbert in a bigger role and find a younger backup? At wide receiver, pretty much after Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool, there could be a lot of changes here. Dante Pettis, Equanimeous St. Brown, Byron Pringle, N'Keal Harry, all these guys are free agents as well for the Bears. So they haven't committed to what they want to bring back. They need to address offensive line a little bit, especially in pass protection for Justin Fields. But it's setting up for Mooney and Claypool to be the top receivers next year, along with Cole Kmet at tight end. And Montgomery's going to be a tough decision, especially with Herbert exploded and he led the league with the qualified carries in terms of yards per carry. So something to look at with Herbert potentially taking over this backfield in Chicago as they stick with Matt Eberflus and Luke Gentry in the offense they had last year. The Cowboys also have a massive backfield decision to make. Tony Pollard is a free agent now. He's going into free agency with a fractured fibula there, so broken left fibula. That's really hard with that ankle injury there. They did explore potentially using the franchise tag, which would be expensive on him. Ezekiel Elliott, they could cut him and save some good cap money, but Elliott has also suggested that he would take a salary decrease if he could stick around and keep the team intact with Pollard and him in the backfield as the 1-2 punch of speed on the outside, quickness, receiving, as well as Elliott's veteran power running. So we'll see if that stays intact. The Cowboys could blow it up. They do have a draft pick late in the first round with which they could go after Bijan Robinson, who I have going in my mock draft out of Texas to the Cowboys. They also have Jahmyr Gibbs that they can consider out of Alabama. So interesting offseason ahead with Pollard and Elliott for the Cowboys following their elimination from the NFC playoffs. All right, that looks at five teams. We've got 11 more NFC teams to go through with their latest news and notes that you need to know that are pertaining to fantasy football here whether they're still in the playoffs here in 2023, those two teams still playing, 49ers, Eagles, or everyone else eliminated, the 14 teams. We got you covered here on the show. I told you at the top that today's episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. It's the great game that you can play here on your phone. You've heard me talk about this mobile game app, and I can't tell you how much fun I had competing against Locked On NFL hosts. Just so much good stuff there to build your roster. Chris Carter of Locked On Steelers, he ended up winning here, so it's exciting. He just figured out this game and dominated. Well, now you can try to do that against your competition as well. Ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing a football franchise? Well, your dream can come true, and this game is definitely for you. You'll manage every strategic aspect of your team, play through seasons, lead your team to glory, trying to build a dynasty. The Ultimate Football GM, you're responsible for controlling the destiny of your franchise by hiring the right coaches and coordinators, which a lot of teams are trying to do right now. In the real NFL, training players, navigating your franchise through free agency and draft, which are coming up, and all the ups and downs of a regular season. Really, it's a lot of fun to play. It can be addicting as you try to build your lineup, but it's a good way. It's something that you really works your mind and lives out how you want to be a GM, how you would do it with this game. It's all this in a challenging, realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM is completely free and playable offline. You can play on the go as you want to and when you want to, and you'll want to play this often. Trust me, Ultimate Football GM always got to tinker with their team to make sure you're staying one step ahead of your competition. And that's the best of all, that you can challenge your friends and go after it. You also can go to the Locked On League to compete against Locked On fans all over the world. Can you be the ultimate Locked On football GM? Choose the Locked On League in the app to join, and you can try to create your own football dynasty there. Locked On Fantasy Football listeners can get 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code Locked On in all caps. That's Locked On in all caps. Inside the game store, that's Locked On in all caps, so make sure to check it out today. Download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL podcast and get daily conversation of the biggest NFL stories, which now are the latest hiring cycle in the NFL, as well as the championship games, plus in-depth analysis on the biggest games in conference weekend here with NFL key predictions every Friday that's coming up. So we'll also be breaking down the games in depth for you Thursday and Friday here in Locked On Fantasy Football. On Monday on Locked On NFL, local insiders cover the weekend with game-to-game episodes. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube, just like this show, and wherever you get your podcasts, just like Locked On Fantasy Football as well. All right, it is time to continue the show here and continue to look at the latest news and notes from all your teams from the NFC. We talked about Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson being a hot head coaching candidate because of the way he coached up Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown, this explosive offense, but he's not going anywhere. He's a young coordinator. That's great news for Detroit. Jared Goff, Jamison Williams expanding his role as a wide receiver next year. We'll see if they bring back DJ Chark, but Williams figures to be the outside number one big play field stretcher, as well as St. Brown. So those are two really nice receivers to have right off the top for Jared Goff. I bet they'll be in the market for a tight end. I have them looking at Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame in the draft. So don't sleep on them upgrading at that position after they dealt T.J. Hockenson to the Vikings. And we know DeAndre Swift is a special pass catcher. They got Jamal Williams. So this offense is definitely going to be high upside in fantasy again with Ben Johnson not going anywhere. And probably sticking with Goff and the way this team is structured. Great offensive line as well helps Johnson navigate and produce a lot of points with however he wants to run his offense, passing or running. So good news for the Lions and good news for fantasy football investing in that team here in 2023. How about the Green Bay Packers? Aaron Rodgers could be on the move. That's what Adam Schefter believes, that there's a potential that the right trade offer could come along. Rodgers, based on his contract he signed with the Packers, would be tied to them for one more season, and you'd want to make that money. But does he want to explore other teams here? He had a rough season with the Packers, adjusting to his new weapons. They lost Devontae Adams. The offensive line was banged up. They were inconsistent with their play calling of the running game. He lost also Nathaniel Hackett, who hurt Russell Wilson, but also hurt Rodgers by not being there as someone he trusted. So we'll see if the Packers end up bringing him back under Matt LaFleur. But they also could move on from Rodgers if the right offer comes along, keep in mind Atlanta has some capital here. You have the Jets, who would be aggressive. A lot of teams would want to go after Aaron Rodgers. Maybe look at the Ravens if they don't work things out with Lamar Jackson. So anywhere is a possibility with Rodgers if a team is aggressive enough to get him. So we'll watch that for sure. We'll put that on our radar. But for now, you'd think he's returning for one more season in Green Bay, and then we'll see about his future if it's in Green Bay or elsewhere beyond that. But interesting that the trade rumors are circling, and it's, again, because there's a lot of QB needy teams out there and want to explore the options with potentially Rodgers in play as well as Tom Brady. All right, for the Rams, Sean McVay is returning. That's big news. There could be a lot of shakeup in his offensive coaching staff. You know, Liam Cohen, he was the offensive coordinator under him. He won't be getting a head coaching job. He went to Kentucky, back to Kentucky, to be the offensive coordinator, so he's not going to follow Zach Taylor, Kevin O'Connell from the offensive staff to get coaches, but there are some other guys getting attention there all across the staff, including Raheem Morris on the defensive side. McVay is not going to stop those guys from being hired elsewhere, so could be a little bit of a brain drain again for the Rams as they adjust, so McVay could have a bigger challenge here. His other thing that he has to look at is Matthew Stafford. Will that injury heal up in time? Will they bring back Baker Mayfield as a contingency with the less need of the GM? So a lot of things to look at with McVay, but McVay is staying put, and that's good news overall for the Rams offense. Speaking of O'Connell and the Vikings, they're looking for a new defensive coordinator. They moved on from Ed Donatell. He was just a plug-and-play guy, didn't get much out of their defense. They need to overhaul some parts of their defense, including corner away from Cam Dantzler. They got to get a little bit better linebacker. Their defensive line was a bit disappointing as well. So I think there's some changes in store. They looked at Ryan Nielsen. He worked with Dennis Allen. He has worked with Dennis Allen in New Orleans. Or Sean Desai, we talked about him as a Vic Fangio kind of extension here, much like Mike Caldwell kind of rolled off from Todd Bowles. So when you look at that, Desai could have an impact on the Vikings, just scheming them up a little bit better. So that would be great news for them as they really struggled all the way through that final game, that wildcard playoff loss at home to the Giants, and that offense who lit them up. So Donatell had to go. The Vikings making some changes there to be a better impactful playmaking unit playing off their offense. The Saints, we'll see what they're willing to take for Sean Payton. That's an interesting development. We know that he's not going to be replacing Dennis Allen and just taking a year off. Mickey Loomis, the GM, said they're going to stick with Dennis Allen as the head coach. We'll see about Andy Dalton as the starting quarterback. He's yet again a free agent, so the rotation could continue after he went to the Cowboys and Bears and Saints. He could be looking for a new job. Do they think about Jameis Winston anymore? I think he's probably done here. They got Taysom Hill at quarterback. Do they try to move Payton to get a first-round pick to potentially get a quarterback? So there's all kinds of things that you're looking at with the Saints, but the biggest thing is going to be Dalton. I think Mark Ingram is pretty much done here. So do they trust in Alvin Kamara going forward? Do they have to blow up more parts of their offense? But when you look at Chris Olave, he needs some help. Jarvis Landry, Marcus Callaway are some free agents. So it would not surprise me also if the Saints went all in with their passing game, got another receiver in the draft, if they got the Payton pick and found their quarterback outside of Dalton here in 2023. The Giants have a ton of free agent questions here. This is the last team we'll tackle in the segment. Saquon Barkley's a free agent. Daniel Jones is a free agent. Behind Barkley, Matt Breida's also unsigned. In the receiving core, looks like Isaiah Hodgins could have played himself into a role on the roster. That's because Darius Slayton, Richie James, and Sterling Shepard all free agents. So it's just a determination here. Wandale Robinson, if he's healthy, I think he could take over for James in the slot. You got to look at also Hodgins being a key factor here. But definitely they're going to blow up some of this. You know they're going to move on from Kenny Golladay as well, in a key role after moving Kadarius Toney to the Chiefs during the season. So you look at Giants receiving core, I'd be shocked if the Giants don't make wide receiver high priority and really the best values in the draft. When you look at Kayshon Boutte of LSU, you got Quentin Johnston of TCU, Jackson Smith and Nick Jigba from Ohio State, Jordan Addison of USC, a lot of options there. And one of those should fall in the first round to the Giants to help that. They all expect Saquon Barkley back. They made an offer to him before for an extension. So they should keep Barkley, they should keep Jones, but they'll blow up wide receiver and try to get a little bit more help to complement those guys and really support Jones better in 2023. Jones, probably a reasonable contract in the $25 to $30 million range, probably a shorter contract, while Barkley, they'll probably look to lock up for reasonable value at running back going forward, given his veteran status and coming back and having a healthy, very productive season in 2022. All right, there's a look at six more teams. We'd have to cover five more. We have Eagles, 49ers, the two teams playing in the conference championship, as well as Seahawks, Buccaneers, and Commanders. The Bucs, of course, have a big question about quarterback. We'll get into that in our final segment here in Locked On Fantasy Football. The NFL playoffs are here still, and we have three more massive games here, and it's a great time then to get in the action on FanDuel. We're really excited about FanDuel being our sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, you can join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet at FanDuel. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at an even bigger payout with the same game parlay. Really, we like this week early, I think the leans go to the Bengals and 49ers in these championship games. We'll break that down for you in depth on Thursday, as well as look at some FanDuel DFS there for you on Friday as well. So we'll look at the betting, fantasy, all that good stuff. But we're really happy, Locked On Fantasy Football, that we're attached here with FanDuel. With FanDuel, you'll get an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, time to close the show with our last few news and notes from the NFC teams. We'll go with the Philadelphia Eagles. Once their playoff run is done, whether it's the divisional, well, after the divisional here in the conference round or after Super Bowl 57, they got to think about what's going to happen at running back. Kenneth Gainwell has looked rather good in the playoffs. We had the explosive burst playing closer for them against the Giants. Miles Sanders and Boston Scott are free agents, so that could open up Gainwell to have a more regular feature type role. I think the Eagles are a smart team with Howie Roseman, a GM, that they want to keep the window intact. They can't spend too much money at running back. I think they would like Sanders back at a reasonable price, but I expect Scott is gone with Gainwell being a factor here. So things to watch out for the Eagles, but otherwise rather healthy going into this game against the 49ers. Speaking of the 49ers, they do have a little bit of an injury concern. Christian McCaffrey admitted that he played through a calf condition late against the Cowboys. That's why he saw some Elijah Mitchell, a little bit more of him in closing time. McCaffrey did play late, but they were managing his reps a little bit. He did, in the end, score a key touchdown, but he wasn't all that effective rushing or receiving in terms of yardage, so we want to watch that with McCaffrey. But he should be closer to full strength here as they play Philadelphia. They did get the time here to get really settled for this game, so McCaffrey should be close to full strength here, and Elijah Mitchell maybe be getting a few more touches, but I don't think that's going to diminish the potential effectiveness of the 49ers running game in that matchup against the Eagles, because the Eagles' biggest weakness defensively, really maybe one of their few weaknesses, is against the run, and as well as working things inside. So that should be more good news for the strength of the 49ers there with their running and passing games in the NFC Championship game. The Seahawks are going to try to get the NFC Championship game. They did make the playoffs here, did lose in the wild card round to the 49ers, but Pete Carroll did a masterful job, as well as their offense coordinator, Shane Waldron. Now, the thought is to bring back Geno Smith at quarterback after his little breakout late career season. He's going to be the NFL Comeback Player of the Year because coming back from the adversity of not starting and being a backup, we'll see, though. They could also be really thinking about a rookie quarterback. They're tempted with number 5, number 20 overall. It just depends if C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young may fall to that first pick, or if Will Levis or Anthony Richardson tickles their fancy for number 20, they could take one of those quarterbacks, have Geno in a bridge year for a one-year deal that's high-priced and guaranteed, and then make the call next year and go developmental with their quarterback here in 2023 behind Smith. So a lot of things to watch out with the Seahawks, but for now they would like to bring Geno Smith back as starter because he had a very effective season. He was the most prolific passer they've had in their history, even over Russell Wilson in a single season. The Buccaneers, this is very similar to the Ravens situation we broke down for yesterday. I mean, they fire their offense coordinator, Byron Leftwich. We don't know if that is good for Tom Brady or bad. I would say it's bad in terms of Brady playing for Tampa next year as a Buccaneer. The way he approached reporters there with his comments. It was sounded like a real farewell from the team, at least. I don't know if it's a farewell from the NFL and retiring, but the Raiders are looming there. Tom Brady did go on his Let's Go podcast there with Larry Fitzgerald and Jim Gray to say that he has not made a decision. He said that in NSFW language, but he's not ready to make the decision. He's going to take his time. We don't know what he's thinking here, but to me, I think the Bucs are the thing that's definitely out. I think a return there, don't think about it, because he's a free agent. He's going to go to a situation where he thinks he can win a Super Bowl. Otherwise, I think he just hangs it up and says, okay, I'm done. I made a good run with the Bucs, and it's finished here. But the Raiders definitely are the team that you bold, underline, circle. That's the targeted team here. They're going to have a quarterback opening. They're going to try to move Derek Carr as soon as they can in a trade. They're not going to go with Jared Stidham. They're going to go with Brady, who started over Stidham for Josh McDaniels in New England. You also have Dave Ziegler, a Patriots-tied GM, much the way that Jason Light was in Tampa. You also have the Raiders playing the Super Bowl at home. They've got upside. It's a challenge of a division that has some very good quarterbacks with the Justin Herbert for the Chargers and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs playing in the championship game. So big challenge for Brady. Big situation that he could really fit well in, under McDaniels there in that familiar offense. The reunion could definitely happen. He would inherit some great weapons. Devontae Adams and Hunter Renfro and Darren Waller, and as well as Josh Jacobs maybe potentially coming back on a deal. Maybe you'll have an offensive line revamping, just like the Bucs did in drafting Tristan Wirfs. They also upgraded their defense, the Bucs did, to get the right piece in place. I think the Bucs are a little further along defensively. The Raiders do have great player, Max Crosby, but they got to rebuild a little bit more there on the offensive line to really become an appealing team that can actually contend for a Super Bowl and win it in Super Bowl 58 for the Raiders there as they prepare to host the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. So a lot of things to watch out with the Buccaneers, but definitely looking at the Raiders, seeing what they can do with Carr and Jacobs, and then the Raiders potentially making a run at Brady if he gets a free agency, and that would be the expectation for everyone this season. And finally, we're looking at the Washington Commanders. So we know their offensive coordinator, Scott Turner, won't be back. He was attached to Ron Rivera from the North Turner connection from Carolina, but just didn't produce enough offense here. Really struggled, especially with the quarterbacks. Now, you look at Martin Mayhew, the GM, he's saying that Carson Wentz are not committed. That means he's not coming back. They can easily get out of Wentz's contract with a big cap savings and no real cap hit or dead money there. So Wentz is definitely going to be gone. Taylor Heinicke is a free agent. So right now, that would leave Sam Howell as the starting quarterback. And how do offensive coordinator candidates feel about that? The options are Pat Shurmur. You know, he was with the Giants. Now he's with the Broncos. That West Coast style of get rid of the ball quickly, short drops, and spread the ball around there. You're also looking inside with Ken Zampezi as a assistant elevated there, so a little bit more West Coast concepts there. And they're also looking at Charles London. He was the quarterback's coach, not with Drake London, but with Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder in Atlanta. So they're looking at different styles of offense here, but what's telling me is a lot of run heaviness here with this offense, setting it up, being a little bit more kind of short and intermediate passing game than the big play dependent to Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. So a little bit more methodical, use the tight end a little bit more, use 11 personnel a little bit better with the intermediate routes in the slot, and run the ball really effectively with Brian Robinson Jr. Probably returning for sure, but they could definitely move on from Antonio Gibson in the offseason as well. There you have it. There's a breakdown of the latest NFC news and notes you need to know from around the league here that have something that you need to think about for fantasy football in 2023. We'll be talking about these teams a lot as we continue advanced scouting mode all throughout the offseason on Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. For your second listen, check out the Locked On NFL podcast, bringing the local insights you love to the national spotlight with daily conversation with the biggest NFL stories. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. For Locked On Fantasy Football, for this show on a Wednesday with our look at the NFC news and notes, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great day, and we'll check you out tomorrow as we start breaking down the two championship games on Sunday, 49ers-Eagles and Bengals-Chiefs.